Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and one reason the teachers union wriggled out of the link between tenure and test scores, whether you think it's the right thing or not, is that they are among the biggest spenders on lobbying in New York State. The New York Post today lays out the top 10 this morning, and I thought it would be interesting to go right down the list and then ask a top government watchdog who's getting what for their money. The watchdog is Blair Horner from NYPIRG, the New York Public Interest Research Group. Hi, Blair. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, and good morning.
And here is the list in the Post. The biggest spender on lobbying in New York State is Verizon, with $3.2 million spent last year. Then the trustees of Columbia University. That's interesting. Then number three, the New York State United Teachers. Number four, O'Brien and Gear Limited. I don't know that company. We'll ask Blair about it. Number five, the Greater New York Hospital Association. Number six, the Healthcare Association of New York State. Is that insurance companies, Blair?
Those guys are actually the upstate hospitals.
Upstate hospitals. Number seven, the Medical Society of the State of New York. So that's the doctors.
Yep.
So we have five, six, and seven hospitals and doctors. Number eight, Forest City Ratner. What could they possibly want? Number nine, the Trial Lawyers Association. And number 10 is the UFT, the United Federation of Teachers. So I guess when you combine the city union, which is the UFT, and the state union, which is the New York State United Teachers, which came in at number three, then combined they would be number two behind Verizon. Right, Blair?
That's right. That's right. And that's what the Post did. They put those two lobbying entities together. Under New York law, it's a technical issue as to how you report. And the teachers clearly, you know, they have two separate corporate entities, and so they report both activities.
All right. So let's go down this list a little bit. Verizon spent $3.2 million. And I wonder why you think they spent that much on lobbying. What were they after?
Well, let me just give kind of a broad answer to cover all of these. I mean, the way New York requires reporting, all we know are the issues that they worked on. We don't know if they were supportive or opposed. The law also defines lobbying to include not only lobbying of the state government, but also if you're involved in proceedings before the Public Service Commission on a rate hike or agency regulations or local lobbying. And that's why you'll see later on, Columbia is probably in this, probably because of the activity they have in lobbying at the New York City level. In terms of Verizon, again, you know, it's always hard to know. There's certainly legislation that was up this year in terms of cell phone bill of rights for cell phone recipients, but they could also have been involved in PSC proceedings as well, dealing with the regulation of telephone, you know, and internet communications.
Are they a perennial Verizon? Because I know some of the entities on this list are always on this list, and some come and go because they have, you know, a special pleading to do with the government.
That's exactly right. I mean, typically who's who that you always see in the top 10 are the teachers, the lawyers, the doctors, the hospitals. And that's because healthcare is a regulated issue primarily by the state, as is education. And so if you're trying to influence decision makers, you spend a lot of money to do it. Groups then that typically show up is something at the state or local level that just became hot and they're pouring money into it. O'Brien and Gear, for example, is a Syracuse-based company that does – it's basically an engineering company that's probably involved in some development in Syracuse, although interestingly, when I looked at their filings, they didn't list any bills that they worked on for $1.5 million. So I'm not exactly sure what they're doing. But, you know, again, we only get a partial look at the advocacy behind the groups. But Verizon has been in and out, certainly, over the past 20 years.
That would be a great living, wouldn't it? A no-show job for a lobbying firm. But it's really that they don't have to disclose, and that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in the case of O'Brien and Gear, it could just be an oversight the way they report. It could be that they're just trying to play it safe in terms of that they're involved in activities where the local development project, for example, hasn't gotten a legislative bill number yet. It could be that simple.
So here's a company that you're not that familiar with, and you don't really have a way of figuring out why they spent $1.6 million lobbying state government.
Yeah, the only way you would know, I think, is if we called them and asked them. I checked their website. They clearly are involved in a lot of different activities. They have different clients, and there seemed to be a very big, and I assume to some extent, well-regarded engineering firm, because some of their clients are state agencies. You can't tell from their lobbying report what they're lobbying on.
Number two, in terms of lobbying dollars spent in 2007, is the trustees of Columbia University, $2.3 million. I assume you said that they would probably spend most of that money lobbying the city of New York, but this is supposed to be a state list. So,
well, it just so you know, I mean, the state law defines lobbying to include both lobbying of state government and local government.
Okay.
So, you know, I assume that there have been discussions about this lobbying at the city level, probably the same thing with Forest City, Ratner Companies.
Right.
But they're primarily involved in activities at the city level.
Right. So Columbia wants approval of their Manhattanville development project, right?
That's probably the case, yes.
And so where does this money go? What do they spend the $2.3 million on?
Well, you know, it's always hard to completely tease it out, but typically if you're spending big bucks trying to influence opinion makers, you're spending it on well-connected lobbyists. If you're spending a lot of money, you're also spending it on different kinds of advertising. It could be polling. It could be direct mail pieces to individuals. The grassroots level. It could be TV ads. I've seen one year was 1199, the Hospital Workers Union and the Greater New York Hospital Association. They spent $11 million, and it was primarily on TV buys opposing whatever was being proposed in the cuts in the state budget. So when you usually get into the big bucks categories like this, you have a matrix of things that are going on. Well-connected lobbyists combined with some advertising activity and direct communications to membership or people that they believe will be allied to them. And that's the typical modern day lobbying activity that you see, the connection between the insiders as well as the kind of internet-based and, you know, TV-based advertising efforts, radio-based, to drive the process. Now, clearly they wouldn't spend all this money if they didn't think it worked.
Columbia get what they pay for? Is there a way to measure it?
Well, we know what it is that they're asking for. Whether or not they get what they want, of course, we'll only know whenever the process is done for their interests. And a group like the teachers, it's even harder because while you were talking about the tenure issue, they have a vast array of issues that they care about. They represent, for example, professors in colleges, and there are budgetary issues that affect them. There's also school aid that the teachers care about. So they probably have a whole bunch of different issues that they care about, with tenure being one of them.
The Greater New York Hospital Association, the Healthcare Association of New York State, the Medical Society of the State of New York, do doctors and hospitals usually want the same things since they're both on this top 10 lobbying dollars list, or are they working against each other?
Well, they rarely work against each other. They typically have agendas that overlap, but it's not exactly the same. Hospitals are more focused on their own economic interests. They're big institutions. The Medical Society is a trade association, typically of individual high-end docs, the ones who have board-certified or specialists. It's not so much the GPs. General practitioners. And so there are interests that overlap, since many of the surgical specialists are practicing in hospital settings, but not always. Occasionally you'll see conflict where the hospitals are concerned about doctors taking business away from hospitals and doing it in an outpatient setting. But typically they have an agenda that's similar, but doctors have issues that are more narrowly focused to their job as professionals, whereas hospitals are big institutions and they have issues that may deal with development or funding for out of the state budget that the doctors probably care less about.
Let's take a caller who I think is going to make an important point. Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I want to make a point that of those 10 groups, there's two groups there that represent teachers that actually represent working people. And if it weren't for those teachers groups, New York City public schools would be cut immensely. I mean, part of what just came out of the budget was preserving the money for schools, and it was the teachers' unions, not the mayor and not the chancellor, that were up there fighting for it.
Well, probably in the case of the actual budget, how much New York City was going to get. And for that matter, you know, other districts also looking for more school money from the state. Under the Campaign for Fiscal Equity lawsuit decision, it was going to be more money or less money. But all the localities, the governments, the school districts want what the teachers want in that case, which is to maximize the money for education to their district. So I think, Michael, that on that point, they are probably unified. But Blair Horner from NYPIRG, what do you think?
Well, you know, unions typically are looking out for the interest of their membership, and they typically represent lots of people. Teachers union have or is a huge membership across the state, probably around 500,000 members. And so certainly, you know, to kind of depending on how you view the issues, they are certainly looking out for the interests of their members, and they have a lot of them. And, you know, if you assume that spending more money on education leads to better education, then, you know, you would side with them.
Right. But I think inherent in Michael's point also is that some people might be surprised at who's on this list because, you know, it isn't Halliburton and Exxon and Blackwater. I realize they'd be lobbying in Washington, not in Albany, New York. But these, some of these things are unions. Some of these things are kind of what we consider everyday, you know, organizations and people related to everyday needs, like hospitals and doctors and teachers. They're not just the special real estate interests looking for their land grabs, though some are. I think some years, 1199, the Healthcare Workers Union might be on that list, though it's not this year. So, you know, there's the question does come up, I think, implied by Michael. Well, you know, these people aren't necessarily evil just because they're lobbying.
Well, that's true. I mean, you're talking to a lobbyist. I'm a lobbyist. I'm registered as one of NYPIRG's lobbyists. It's just the way the law is organized and the way the groups organize themselves. So, for example, if all of real estate developers were working on the same thing, but they weren't technically organized into one association, they would report their activities individually, and they would never show up here.
Right.
Here, virtually all the teachers in the state are involved in one group,
right,
and there's a lot of them, and so they spend a lot of money. Also, the areas that government tends to regulate the most are the areas where you're going to want to be involved in the governmental process.
Right, and if we look at in this year of a tight budget, what actually went up the most, it was spending on education, and it was spending on health care coverage for children, the state kicking in all this money that the federal government refused to for an expansion of the S-CHIP program, meaning that 400,000 additional children, I think that's the number, are going to be covered with health insurance in New York State. So if the hospital association and the doctors were lobbying for that and the teachers were lobbying for more money for education, you know, Some of these outcomes aren't the worst thing in the world. We're just about out of time. Just tell me what it is that the Trial Lawyers Association, which is always on this list and is always the butt of jokes, actually lobbies for in Albany. What do they want as a group? Is it just to fend off tort reform?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much it. I think they're pretty much playing defense most of the time, and the doctors are among the groups that are playing offense to try to change that system. So they're pretty much the defenders of their status quo.
And the doctors are opposed to them.
That's right.
All right. Blair Horner from NYPIRG, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And talking about the top 10 Albany lobbying groups in 2007. And coming up in a minute, the results of our NAP Strategies project. Stay with us.